What's the 411? You're tuned in to 411 Teen. 411 Teen is a weekly program for teens and other interested folks. 411 Teen provides a forum to examine and discuss various issues and events that confront, intersect, and sometimes interrupt our daily lives. I'm Dr. Liz Hollifield. Rickards High School is home to some unique educational programs in the Leon County school system. The Millicent Hollifield Academy of Health Sciences is one of those innovative, unique programs designed to prepare students for entry into collegiate studies of pre-med, allied health sciences, pharmacy, and our public health sciences, and more. Joining me at the roundtable, I welcome students from the Millicent Hollifield Academy of Health Sciences. I welcome Christian Hill. Christian, it's nice to have him. He's been here before, so I'm always glad to have him back. He is a senior. He's into veterinary medicine and pharmacy.
Hey, everybody. Class 2016, we made it.
Yep, sure did. Congrats. We'll have to get you back. Leonard Lindsay, he is a regular. Just love having him. Also, senior in the Health Academy, neurology, psychology, and first response is his thing.
Hello, nice to be here again.
Nice to have you. And we have two instructors in the program. Lena Terrell, she is the Health Academy instructor at Rickards High School.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm excited about being a new teacher here in Leon County School System.
And Perry West. Perry is also an instructor at the Health Academy.
Good evening, Dr. Hollifield. It's great to be here and great to be a part of this program.
Oh, I look forward to talking with you. The Wrap with a Pro series provides interested high school students enrolled in the Millicent Hollifield Academy of Health Sciences the opportunity to talk directly with a health professional. This hour, we feature pharmacist Rita Marcisseau. She's a pharmacist at Walgreens and has agreed to share her expertise with us today.
Thank you, Dr. Hollifield.
Thanks for coming. My opening question to you, Rita, is what motivated you to go into pharmacy?
I've always had an interest in healthcare. So I started out as a medical assistant and then considered nursing until I really found out that was not my, you know.
And that's important, too. I'm glad to hear you say that because we need to know what we don't like or what doesn't fit with us, too. Because it's awful to go to school for all that time and then go, this isn't quite what I want.
So I worked as a medical assistant, and I was introduced to some pharmacy students. I worked worked in an apothecary in the building where I was, working and got to meet them and felt at that point that I was at a juncture where I was going to make some changes, and I decided to pursue pharmacy.
All right. Well, we have students here who are interested, and I'm sure have a number of questions that they want to ask. So I will turn it over to the students, see what they want to ask, and I'll throw some in here and there, and we'll find out from the program instructors just what's going on in the program. So let's go.
Okay. Me being new, being interested in pharmacy, I would like to know, what kind of classes did you take?
Most of the classes are geared toward chemistry. You'd realize, you think about that, and biology, but mostly chemistry and, math, and so the sciences, really.
Okay, so what type of math? Any specific, or?
You would go to at least some geometry and trig, but don't feel discouraged because it's not the biggest part. The biggest part would be chemistry, and you're already taking some math classes, I'm sure, in high school, so it'll be math really doesn't change. So when you get to college, you'll see the same thing and you'll do fine. So your biggest chunk of education is really going to be chemistry.
So how long does it usually take to become a pharmacist?
Well, for me, it took me 5 years. At that time, the Bachelor of Science degree was available. Now the PharmD you know, a clinical degree for the pharmacist is available, and it's got a total of 6 years. So you have 4 years and 2 years prerequisite, and then 4 years of actual pharmacy classes in school.
Any other medical field you was interested in besides nursing?
Well, I mean, I don't want to I want to at least say with the nursing, a nurse really helped me a great deal when I was in the hospital at one point. And I thought, I just really want to do that. But it just takes a certain kind of personality, I think, a little bit, that in patients and things like that, that I really want to be true and be honest that it wasn't, you know, for me, that particular field. I medical assisting, and I worked in, you know, a few doctor's offices. And like I said, I just moved over to pharmacy, sort of kind of backed my way into it a little bit, saw those students, and that moment came, and it's like, okay, so I'm going to go back and make some changes and apply to FAMU, and it actually got accepted, and it's been great.
Any other schools besides FAMU that you know?
Well, not any, not a university, just certification as a, you know, the medical assistant. But all my continuing education classes, because you know you're required to have continuing education as you progress in your professional pharmacy profession, you have to have continuing education classes every year, a certain amount, because there's so many changes that are happening so, you know, frequent that you need to stay abreast of, you know, the course and of the professionals, the profession. So,
okay. What would you say to them, or how would you advise them as not even undergrads, as high school students? They're getting ready to graduate. They're seniors. What would you suggest that they do? They know they want to go into pharmacy or into a health science, because I'm thinking now of prerequisites. What kind of coursework would you suggest that they?
Well, the prerequisite is going to be your 2 year degree, which like an associate, your AA degree,
mm-hmm.
and that's consistent with your, you know, when sometimes when you're in school, you really want to get out of school, and that's probably, you know,
that's a good point.
It really is true, and so you try to just get through. But when it's time to go to, you know, college and attend those classes, you, like I said about the math, if you just kind of progress along and you move forward. When you see it, even if you don't do well in school, you go like, oh, I'm not doing well. Believe it or not, the second time you see it in college, it's really going to be so much better. You're going to be really ahead of the folks that decided, well, I'm just going to take an easy class and just get through. And, you know, you have to kind of realize that what you're doing right now is really important. So whatever classes you're taking, just my advice would be to just stay on course and try to take courses that are relevant and not really try to take courses that are easy and you just want to mm-hmm. get, you know, to the end.
What I direct this to both of you, mm-hmm. to both of you, instructors at the Health Academy. What does the coursework look like at, you know, at the high school level? What are they exposed to? What do they see?
Well, they mainly are exposed initially to the core courses, which are common for any 2 year college, mm-hmm. 4 year college. Of course, with the Department of Education, you have to take Health Science, Anatomy, and Physiology. Also, Health Science Foundation. Again, those are the way to introduce the kids to a lot of the terminology, a mm-hmm. lot of the format, just a lot of the wording that needs to take place, and they need to be a part of or exposed to in the health related fields.
Okay. Now, what course do you teach?
I am teaching with Mr. West, okay, along cool. pretty much the core course.
Okay.
And myself, I have been a CNA for 10 years and a LPN for 8 years. So I am coming in with my expertise to mm-hmm. help assist in a program mm-hmm. to get them to the place that they need to go up on graduation and actually being able to sit for a certification.
Okay. Ms. Marsuso, would you tell us what it's like, the admission process into pharmacy? Because you have an admission process to college, and then you have one into pharmacy, right? Is that the way it still goes?
Yes. Well, you can be admitted into the program through, you know, your first 2 years. Like I started out, I submitted an application, you know, to Florida A&M, and with that, when I was accepted, that was my first year. So I took history of pharmacy, you know, so they mm-hmm. keep you moving along. So the courses, you know, you become your full courses after 2 years. But there's Florida A&M, I don't believe, require the pharmacy entrance exam. But just the you're required to have a letter of letter of recommendation. Yes, thank you very much. So
mm-hmm. okay,
and your GPA needs to be greater than, I think, 2.
Oh yeah, mm-hmm. probably greater than 3 at this point, I would guess. I would just guess. I don't know. Yeah. Okay. What about prerequisites at the college level? What are they required? What are they required to have? I mean, just from what you can remember. I mean, because I know you graduated in 92, so I know it's a little different because now they have PharmD, and they didn't have PharmD when you were there, did they?
No, they didn't.
They didn't have that. So, what are the basic prerequisites for pharmacy? I mean, so there's chemistry.
Yeah, it will be your core 2 year courses, really.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, you know, if you start out with the program and being accepted in the beginning, you still have your core, your history,
mm-hmm.
you know, your sciences, your basic 2 year degree courses. You still have that still
okay.
stands.
Okay.
The only difference is there may be some pharmacy course, just a little bit, mm-hmm. you know, introduced so that you can kind of matriculate, you know, all the way through.
Well, if I may ask, Rita, what kind of learner, and this is the educator in me, what kind of learner were you? Were you more hands-on? Were you what was it that spurred you to gravitate possibly to pharmacies that kind of agreed with how you learned?
I'm a hands-on learner. I think a pretty fair student.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can follow instructions. I can study my study skills. You know, I really tried to work on, you know, those kind of things because it wasn't necessarily my strongest point.
You're tuned in to 411 Teen. We're going to take a brief break, but we'll get right back at you. What's the 411? You're tuned in to 411 Teen, and this hour I have students from the Millicent Holifield Academy of Health Sciences, and we are featuring pharmacist Rita Marciso, and she's sharing her expertise with these students. And I had to interrupt you. You were talking about the type of learning. Mr. West had asked you about the learning. And so if you want to continue, go right ahead.
Well, I'll say that I definitely I am a hands-on learner. And like I said, I develop my self, you know, and prepare myself for the kind of study that I had to endure, you know, in order to make it through the program. But my real learning, I imagine, for a lot of people was when I actually started practicing pharmacy.
Okay.
So while you were in the pharmacy program, what was the type of training or like what all did you learn? Like what type of training did you have to go through and whatnot?
It was an array of you know, training. We, you know, studied you know, in the lab, you know, with the giving, you know, the frog, the rabbit, the cat, all those things like that, you know. That it can be kind of, you know, interesting because it's such a cute little rabbit and you don't want to really, you know, really, you know, give that rabbit that, you know, atropine, but you're real, you know, wow. It's standing between you and that, you know, your professional. So,
so you do it.
You know, so, but it was pretty interesting, and it just entailed a lot of different areas. Like I said, most of it was just like mostly chemistry and medicinal chemistry and things like that, and some biology and physiology, you know, as well.
College is just sounding better and better for me. But how long have you worked? You work in Tallahassee, right?
I do, yes.
How long have you worked at this Walgreens here in Tallahassee?
I have been with Walgreens since 2009. Okay. So I actually float around the different stores.
I may look familiar.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I've been to a lot of places.
Well, with the study of pharmacy, does one have a specialty discipline that they can go into in pharmacy? I mean, for example, I know in preparation for the program, you know, I had to read up and make sure I was able to talk about pharmacy, okay? But I know that you can go into veterinary medicine, I mean, veterinary pharmacy. Or now there's so many different types of, you know, there's hospital and there's clinical and there's compounding and there's nuclear. And I'm just wondering, do you identify that at that level, or is this after you graduate and you go back? How does that work?
To me, for me, it was really after I finished, and mm-hmm. I've worked in many environments. You know,
share with
well,
us.
Well, I started out in a psychiatric hospital. It's very interesting,
mm-hmm.
and I've practiced hospital pharmacy. I've worked in the prisons, and I actually built my own pharmacy, and I just did independent pharmacy. And now this is for the last, you know, few years I've been working in retail,
mm-hmm.
you know, pharmacy. I've not, you know, practiced like a pharmaceutical sales or anything mm-hmm. like that. I'm not, you know, real,
mm-hmm.
but probably the most interesting one for me was the community pharmacy setting.
Why?
It's just amazing how people will come and talk to you and share and a lot of information that they may not be able to go and see their doctor,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I'm not a physician and not, you know, giving out any medical right. advice like that, but I have been fortunate enough to have helped a lot of people. And just by the idea that they can come into the setting and just, you know, talk to me, it's just been really rewarding.
Yeah. Okay. What have been maybe the major challenges that you encountered during your training?
I was actually an older student, so it just requires, it requires a lot of time and a lot of discipline. That's
key.
It really is. So you're trying to, you know, juggle a lot of things, but, you know, unless you're really, you know, you have to be really organized and, you know, disciplined and sure, you know, about, you know, the whole program and how much time it's going to take.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably the biggest.
Okay.
That was amazing for me, you know.
Okay. And obviously you had presented no problems because you were very successful. Well, if it did, you overcame them.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. Let's talk. Do you all have some more questions?
I have one.
Go right ahead.
Could you describe your current job environment, like the inside of the glass?
You know, that's an interesting,
I like that.
You know, you say that when I started out with, you know, pharmacy, it was a lot like, you know, inside the glass and behind and, you know, on the, in the corner. Now, the trend is sort of changing to just having the pharmacists absolutely out front. There is no glass. You know, you're just sitting here just like I'm sitting here right now, and folks can come and sit down and talk to you, and you're just completely, you know, exposed like that. So that's has to do a lot with the changing of the degree itself into a clinical degree, more clinically oriented. So they have a lot more clinical training, you know. So just that, you know, itself is just, you know, different. And that kind of sets us out here like that.
And if I may ask you, you mentioned trends earlier. How have you seen the trends of dispensing medication over the years that you've been a part of the program?
It's changed in the 20-plus years that I've been a pharmacist. It's changed in a way where there just are a lot more medications dispensed. So as the boomers, you know, get older, mm-hmm. you know, we just have a lot more, you know, prescriptions, right. you know, mm-hmm. to dispense. So the work of the technician, you know, it kind of works in a way where, like I said, we'll move the pharmacist away from actually, you know, counting mm-hmm. and really into the clinical aspect. That's the change that's happening, you know, right now. Mm-hmm. So,
have you ever had to deal with the problem of getting fake prescriptions?
Oh my gosh, yes!
Like, how many times does that happen? I thought by now people would just have a system where they can just scan it or something like that.
But. They have it. It's a little bit tougher, you know. But folks don't just have a lot of time, I suppose, and. You can, and with the internet, you can, you know, do a lot of things, but it comes with really experience. It's hard to get one, you know, by now. Mm-hmm. To get one by me, but it definitely happens. And
how do you handle it?
It depends. What I need to do is, you know, recognize and be sure, mm-hmm. and you know, you can call the doctor, so you have to, that's your main first thing you need to do is, if you suspect this mm-hmm. a fraud, then call the doctor's office to have them verify, did mm-hmm. you write this prescription for this person or that person? And in some cases, a few cases I've done, I've called the doctor, and they may know their patient, and they, you know, the patient may be in a crisis, mm-hmm. you know, with some addiction or something like that, you know, to kind of, you know, have them to do that. And they'll have me either, you know, dispose or void the prescription, and then they contact the patient, and, you know, it goes from there to maybe being discharged as a patient, or it just mm-hmm. doesn't get very, it's not a good scene.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what are the best and worst attributes to your job?
Well, the best is probably, just having the one-on-one interaction with the patient. I really enjoy that part. I find that it's becoming a little bit more difficult when, you know, prescriptions are very expensive, you know, and I'm standing there, I'm trying to, you know, give this patient this med, but it's too expensive. And, you know, I've had, you know, elderly people and young people, you know, as well, not be able to afford their meds, mm-hmm. you know. So you have to kind of keep a little bit of a wall, sort of. What I try to do is, from there, to turn that around is to call the doctor. Because the medication is not going to do the patient any good if they can't take it, if they can't afford it, they're not taking it. So we mm-hmm. try to get a new order, you know, for the patient. And there's some assistance programs, you know, either through the drug company that can help the patient, you know, to afford it. So we try to work to resolve, you know, those kind of obstacles.
Why are medications so high? I know that often you will see and read about patients who may go to Canada or go other places. I know India is known for having cheap, and Israel is known for having cheap medication. In the United States, the medication is the highest in the U.S. Why?
I don't have the answer to that question. Mm-hmm. I do know what you speak of, and I, you know, I'm really not sure. I don't have mm-hmm. the answer to that question. I just find that it is something that I do face, and mm-hmm. I do hear, you know, about medications in other mm-hmm. Areas.
Well, you know, there's been that big move, and you hear about it on the news every once in a while, where people will go to Canada to get their medications mm-hmm. because they're so much less expensive. And so I just, you know. Just
you know, we're not as regulated, though. Yeah. I mean, there's, they have many programs, like in Canada, the mm-hmm. New medicine is socialized right. in a way. So, but we're not like that. We're a capitalistic society. And with that, you can command, you know, what the market will bear.
As a pharmacist, are you privy to certain programs that may help those patients who need medication but can't afford it? I know, for example, sometimes some of the drug companies themselves, if you write them or contact whoever it is, they will make arrangements to give this patient their medication free of charge or at, excuse me, some really discounted.
That's true, amount. Because even if the med is expensive, the drug company wants the patient to take their medication. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no point in making it again if they can't have someone take it. So they have programs there. You just have to, you know, I have some experience in knowing about these patient assist programs that exist mm-hmm. out there because I worked at a you know a different place and that it was mostly about medication that came through that particular program. And then there's the website, you know. Mm-hmm. There are some charity programs, mm-hmm. you know, that exist where a patient is, you know, perhaps being discharged from the hospital. They can't afford his or her medication. And they have programs or agencies that will help, you know. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I'm familiar with all those things because of just my past experiences, though.
A couple of things that the students didn't ask you, but I wanted to ask you to address, is the cost of your education. Because they need to know that. Okay. I mean, generally. You
yeah,
know.
Well, I don't remember mm-hmm. exactly. What I right. do remember is not wanting to come out with a huge debt over my head. So I really lived quite modest, mm-hmm. you know, just had a really old car, and I lived in Hollyfield Arms, mm-hmm. you know, I saw the big picture, you know, I saw the future rather than
that immediate,
the time that mm-hmm. I ate a lot of pot pies, fed my children a lot of pot pies, they don't want to go anywhere near it to this day, a lot of secondhand, that's how I lived. Also, only in the last year that I make a loan, mm-hmm. and it wasn't very much at all. It's about maybe $5,000.
Okay. So you weren't one of the ones who were looking to splurge when your net check and all of those things.
No,
huh?
I know.
That's important.
When that money came in, I really did apply it towards school, and I took every penny of that money. And if I had to, you know, I would pay the rent for the next 4 or 5 months. Mm-hmm. I didn't have any money. So when I made some money, then I had some money. But the money that I got for school, I applied all of that to school.
That's
very, very important.
Yeah, that's very important. Do you have questions?
No. I have a question. Okay. One that's been sitting in my head.
Okay.
Okay. Back to what you were saying earlier about people getting drugs over the country, like Canada, mm-hmm. all the other stuff. How do you feel about people getting drugs from their current neighborhood? Because I know people, if they need pain medication, they can go to Pablo House and just get it for like $20 or something like that.
I can't condone that. That's really not. But I understand that. But I know that that's not, you know, the way to do it. Taking medications without a prescription is super dangerous. It's not your medication. Mm-hmm. It's against the law, for one thing.
Right.
And it's just super dangerous, you know, to boot. Yeah. If a person is taking pain medication, it's very addictive. Mm-hmm. And normally it's the addictive medications that we find that's on the street. It's not, you know, like Lisinopril or blood pressure or mm-hmm. metformin. We don't see folks out there, you know, trying to get those kind of medications on the street. So there's another added problem, really, reactions,
drug reactions. Mm-hmm. I mean, what? Even if I had a prescribed, you know, medication, what's for me may not work for you.
Exactly.
Okay, you may be allergic to something. So I go, well, Brita, let me hold that, and then I break out in hives or even more. You know,
right? Even more serious something. You know, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
But I am. I don't think people really. Sometimes they don't really think about that. You're trying to. Maybe you're thinking you're helping, but it's very, very dangerous. It could be very. It could be fatal to some mm-hmm. patients.
So, if the medication was very expensive, have you ever recommended any natural or like home remedies?
I don't really. I won't move away from a medication that's gone through FDA approval and go to something homeopathic. I won't do that unless the patient is, you know, really coming to ask me specific questions about some similar meds. Say you have cholesterol medicine. There are some meds on the market that's over-the-counter. That's similar, but it's still not where I can say, stop taking your Lipitor and take red yeast rice, even though they're both statins.
Mm-hmm.
That would, you know, be irresponsible of me completely because I don't know this person's numbers, their, you know, cholesterol numbers or anything like that. And
I need you to hold your thoughts for a minute. We're going to take a brief break.
If you're just tuning in, the program is 411 Teen. I'm Dr. Liz Hollyfield, and joining me here at the roundtable, I have students and instructors from the Millicent Hollyfield Health Academy, and we are featuring a pharmacist from Walgreens, and her name is Rita Marciso. I had a couple questions I wanted to ask you, and one was about allied professions. Would you talk about, and when I say allied profession, I mean like the pharmacy tech or the pharmacy assistant, because I think, you know, they're very instrumental too. And would you share what they do and what their responsibilities are and their training?
The Board of Pharmacy now requires that any individual working in the pharmacy is certified as a technician. We also have interns, you know, pharmacy interns to come in.
Mm-hmm.
But your pharmacy technician can really be the backbone of a pharmacy to help it to run smoothly because they really, can have the interaction with the patients before I even see the prescription, you know. So we want to have the patient, you know, come in and feel comfortable, and it's just an important job. I can't really emphasize how important it is. And how having the operation run really smoothly and giving the patient, you know, the best care. So you have to be certified, yes. But it is it's a very rewarding career as well.
Okay. All right. Would you identify, because we've referred to it, but would you distinguish prescription, non-prescription, herbal, and organic? Because those are terms you hear so much. Associated with medication,
Prescription medications are they're legend drugs where they require a prescription, you know, from the doctor. Unlike your homeopathic meds that are, like you spoke of, over the counter meds, they do not require a prescription. You have your medications where the organic meds, mm-hmm. you know. Just like anything organic is going to be free of, certain ingredients, contaminations, I guess. The difference is, I mostly deal with just the prescriptions and the over the counter.
Okay.
My expertise is not really in the homeopathic area, but
people so often refer to a medication or a drug as being herbal, and I just wondered if you would like to elaborate a little bit on that.
I don't want to, say anything particularly negative about that, medication mostly, a great deal of medication and its effectiveness is how you think about it. Mm-hmm. If you think that
that's right,
this is gluten free or a grain, if you think that that's working for you, then it will tend to work. But if you feel like it's going to harm you, then right off the bat, you're going to sort of, be prepared to not have it work. That's how I look at it when a patient will come in. I really kind of follow their lead to see and, ask some questions, to see, exactly what they're looking for. And then I can advise them about, what I think would work for them.
Okay.
And if I may ask, is there a distinct difference between, I guess, name brand and a term called generic?
There's some definitely the medicinal properties, the actual properties of the, the actual medicine is supposed to be the same, and it generally is. The only thing is you have different fillers, dyes, and those and possibly the way if you have a tablet that's compressed by this company, and then you have a generic. Well, it's not exactly the same. They don't use the same equipment, So it may dissolve at a different rate. Those are the kind of the things that you have to think about when folks say, it's just not working like the brand. Well, it may not be working like the brand, but for the most part, they are equivalent.
Okay.
Would you say that the number one drug dispense is for diabetes, high blood pressure, or pain management?
Oh, that's a very good question. That's, I actually think it's I think the number one drug is for cholesterol.
Cholesterol? Okay.
I think so.
Wow.
Do you believe that anytime now this year or in the future there will be a medicine that won't require Advil will help you with the headaches but may cause this, that, and the other. Will there ever be a medicine that won't cause all that?
All the side effects. Yeah. No. So no, you have to weigh it. I'm sorry?
There's always going to be a good side and a bad side.
Right. And, the pros will, more often than not outweigh the con. And then you have to consider that because, the quality of life, the fact that we live longer, you have to attribute a great deal to medications and drugs that are available now that are keeping us alive longer, But, yeah, that's a very good question.
Talk about compounding pharmacy. Do you do any of that, even in community? Because when I think of compounding pharmacy, I know it can be very, very involved, but I also think about that person who maybe has a difficult time swallowing a pill, and maybe they need it compounded so you turn it into a lollipop.
Capsule.
Whatever. Do you do that, or is it just, how is that handled?
We have a pharmacy that actually compound medication. Not all the pharmacies compound because of, you have to have a certain setting. It has to be designed in a certain way. You have to have certain equipment, So those kind of things limit every pharmacy
from doing it.
So we will send it to one of our pharmacies to do it.
Okay.
But I do, easy ones, the little ones, like the magic mouthwash, where it's just a little Benadryl or whatever it is, you put in there, and those are very simple compounding. Mm-hmm. And it's not like it used to be where pharmacy was really about compounding.
Yeah.
Now everything is synthetic, and you just have it, prepackaged, and just you order it, and it comes in. But there are, some patients who, can't tolerate, because a particular dose, because one dose fits everybody else, it just may not fit you, and that's when the compounding comes into play.
Okay.
And if I just may digress just a little bit, because one of the driving things that I've always hear from my students that goes in, as a factor that helps them to decide what field they go into, how much does it pay?
Pharmacy has come quite a ways in my short years, actually. Mm. You know, I won't actually give my salary out, but it's...
Give us a range.
Starting pay. Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you, I started out at $28,000 and I was extremely happy. Right? Because I was, like I said, coming out of school, no money. Mm-hmm. And it was like...
And that was a while ago, too.
That was
1992.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It didn't seem like yesterday, but but now, just from a report that I did pull off the internet,
okay,
it shows the median income. The average income is about $120,000.
Wow. That's good.
Any other questions? So I asked you about the internet. Internet pharmacy is just growing, it seems like, by leaps and bounds. Why and what is the appeal? And is there a difference in the medication?
Well, that's the big question.
That's the question, yeah.
Because our state requires that we have a what's called a pedigree, where we can tell you where this drug originated and where did it pass through. And when it finally gets to you, you know where it came from. Uh-huh. And a lot of times on the internet, you absolutely don't know that. You don't know what's in the capsule or tablet that you're taking. You know, so that's the danger side of it. And they'll say, it's so much more inexpensive. It's so much more affordable if I just order it, you know, over the internet. And it's like just taking a risk, you know. That would be my concern about that.
Okay. Can you tell the students that's here the importance being in a healthcare of being responsible, having the integrity to do with the job that you do, to do it to the best of your ability, to high standards, and to just be an effective healthcare worker?
I totally agree with that, because it does require, you know, a certain amount of discipline, and you have to carry yourself in a certain way. But realistically, you have to do that in whatever profession, whatever you decide to do in your life. You have to. You have character. You have, your word has to be your bond. You know, you have to represent yourself when you're not on the job. Because you have a great opportunity now. You know, as we approach Black History Month, you have a great opportunity to really kind of move into a way as a the younger generation here right now, and it's just kind of. Maybe easier, maybe cool, you know, be a slacker, I don't know. But I do know that if you get past that, you know, it's so much more rewarding, and, you know, you just maybe can't see yourself 20 years from now. You really won't regret it. It'll be, you know, the best thing that, you know, decision that you can make about, you know, how you carry yourself. You just have to always carry yourself in a way that if you want your mother or your father watching, just carry yourself in that way, and you know, at all times, and it's just the best route, you know, that
and
you can do.
I do remind them that it starts in the classroom. It starts in the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
So, what was your biggest inspiration to be interested in the health field and also stay in the health field?
Probably the idea that I really. wanted to get – I hesitate because a lot of times now an individual may pursue college for different reasons, you know. I came from a period where I needed to make some money. I needed a job, you know. I said $28,000. I needed a job when I got out. It wasn't really a luxury where I'm just going to go and, you know.
Chill for a while.
Yeah, it wasn't like that. So for me – I had my, like I said, my two children, and the medical field was a field where there was employment. You could get a job, and I could move, you know, to different areas of, you know, in the country if I so chose, you know, chose to.
Mm-hmm.
And those were the factors that led me, because I didn't just as a kid want to be a pharmacist. It wasn't that. It wasn't that at all. I wanted to be an executive assistant. You know, a secretary, you know. So that's you know, what led me was the need to take care of myself and my family.
So did you, right after you went through school and everything, before you went to Walgreens, did you get the luxury of picking where you wanted to work at?
Before I went to Walgreens is when I had my own pharmacy. So I did. I made that luxury because that's what I felt like. I wanted to experience what it was would be like to be an independent owner. And that in that way, is that what you mean, the luxury of just deciding what profession or what area, you know, because you know you can have hospital. And I tried all of those different areas of practicing pharmacy. So, and right now, say, pharmacy as a retail pharmacist is different because you have shift, different hours. You know, you make, you know, a lot of money, but at the same time, it's shifty, kind of like that. And you have to consider you're going to have a family or, you know, things like that. And that's why, right now I feel like this is where I, you know, I feel the best at right now. I feel pretty good about being here in the retail sector.
I want to ask a question about just the change that you have seen. For example, pharmacists now administer the shots and immunizations, and they didn't do that before. Okay. Talk about that. Just talk about the change that you've seen.
It's really incredible where the field is going. It's so moving away from – they actually have, you know, machines that can, you know, count your tablets or put a label on it, for that matter. But this clinical part where we're talking with the patient and the immunization part, we're giving, you know, vaccines, where it's just amazing to me because I never thought I would be doing that. I really did not think I would be giving, you know, vaccines. And now, you know, it moves toward, you know, it's moving toward even giving greater numbers of vaccines for me for, you know, for school and for travel, you know. It's just very, very different.
Well, in these last few minutes, at least we need to address veterinary medicine somewhat. And the veterinary pharmacist, I guess. How does that work? I mean, I read that you can be, what, a veterinary pharmacist, I guess, where you just focus on the medications that are prescribed to animals.
Yeah, I mean, pets are, you know.
Oh, yeah, they're very important.
It's a huge market.
Yes.
And just like you have, you know, health insurance, you have pet insurance and that area, people are doing a lot more for their pets now, and so that's an area, a niche where you could, you know, specialize in pet pet medications. We dispense pet medications, you know, and it's not probably more compounding would be, you know, suited since a dose would vary, you know with the animals, like, but. It's an interesting field. I think it's pretty new as well.
It is. And another one I wanted to ask you to address is nuclear pharmacy.
Nuclear pharmacy would be with the cancers and, you know, really
– chronic kind of.
Tended to steer away a little bit, you know, from that area, so I'm not really – you know, up to date with what's happening.
Yeah, but you can just tell us what it is. And you just said it was, yeah. So that's another area that you all might want to pursue. Any other questions?
All right, one more.
One more, okay. Make it quick.
Do you prefer working in a Walgreens, CVS, Publix kind of environment or having your own pharmacy? Like, which one do you think is better?
Oh, without a doubt. Your own independent pharmacy, there's no comparison. It's just great. But, you know, at the same time, sometimes the restrictions can be where you're not a huge company. You're just an independent. You have to, you know, think about the cost and what you can afford to do and what you cannot. what you can do with them, you know, a large company.
And I have to end it now. And I just want to extend a sincere appreciation to all of you for coming and participating on 411 Team. To my listening audience, tune in next week, same time, same place, to get the 411 on 411 Team. This edition of 411 Team was produced by Dr. Liz Hollyfield. Technical assistance, Ken Smith. Audio copies are available, and if you want to participate in 411 Team or have suggestions for discussion topics, call 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. If you would like to subscribe to 411 Team podcast, log in wfsu.org. Check us out on Facebook.